How come Sharia laws, they say Sharia societies change. Look, this is how they come. They say societies change, right? The society today, is it like the society 1400 years ago? No. Life changes, right? Yeah. So, okay. Then Sharia is 1400 years old. How could you say it applies today if the societies are different? Huh? What do you think? Societies are different. Sharia is the same. How could you apply the same Sharia to different societies? Life changes, right? So what's your answer? Okay. Sharia has rigid part and flexible part. Okay. The rigid part of Sharia does not change with time and place. The flexible part of Sharia changes with time and place. So, what is the fixed part of Sharia? If you look at the human life, they will have a man and woman, and they are married. So, now you have laws for marriage. Sharia laws for marriage, okay? And then they're going to have children. Then we have Sharia laws for marriage and children and for the family. Then they're going to live with neighbors. So you have Sharia laws between the neighbors. Then they are going to live in a society. So there's a Sharia law about society. Then they go to the market. Then the Sharia law is about the market and trading. Then they need leader. They need government. So Sharia law is about politics. Political Sharia laws. Do you understand now? Now, there are certain aspects of the human life that don't change with time, don't change with place. I'll give you an example. Killing. Okay. Killing 1400 years ago was as bad as killing today, yes or no? Huh?
Yes.
Yes. So, how come Sharia is the same? Because killing is killing. Family, there always have to be, regardless of time and place, you have to be couple, married, children, living society, parents, you know, politics, leadership, government, right? Any of these things change, Mom? They don't change. So, when they don't change, then... Got you! You're using your iPhone? Please put it away. You're caught. I can't. Put your phone away. Looks like we're going to start using the tickets again. Okay, next time we'll start using tickets so that we can catch the people who talk. Okay. Okay, so now, do you know about the Ten Commandments? Yes.
Are you recording?
Yes. Yeah. Do you know about the Ten Commandments? Yeah. Do they change with time?
No.
Change with place?
Kind of.
Really? Ten Commandments? No? How about the Quran? Islam also has something similar to the Ten Commandments. Okay? Do they change with time? No. They change with place? No. So Sharia is rigid when it deals with those. Sharia is rigid. When it deals with these kind of laws, Sharia is rigid. So basically you can say that in moral values in general, moral values don't change with time and place. So Sharia is rigid about that. You got it? Now let me give you an example of another law, set of laws. You'll be surprised about this example. In Lake Tahoe, there is this side.
Lake Tahoe.
Lake Tahoe. There is this side. So, okay. The west side is California. And the east side is what?
Nevada.
Look at this embarrassing thing. In California, gambling and paid romance is illegal. So in California, it is illegal to do gambling, and it's illegal to buy a girl to have romance with. Romance, no. Okay? For money. Like you call a girl, pay her like $100 to spend the night with me. It's called romance, I guess. So when you pay money, they call it sometimes prostitution. That's right.
Oh, okay.
It's illegal, right? Okay. Is it legal in California? No. In Nevada, they are not. I'm sorry. Is it legal in California? No. In Nevada, it's legal. So this is all in Lake Tahoe. Lake Tahoe. And you have the state line. This is the street. Half of the street belongs to Nevada, the other half belongs to California. So if you have two hotels across the street from each other, so let's say Hotel A, Hotel B. In Hotel A in California, you can't gamble, you can't do prostitution, okay? You cross the street to the other hotel, you can do gamble and prostitution.
Wow.
Do you see what's the problem here? The problem is that this is when the economy controls the moral values. The economy in California is based on agriculture, manufacture, technology, it's based on a lot of things. So they don't need to make gambling legal, and they don't need to make prostitution legal. And Nevada, the entire state is built on something called entertainment industry. And in the entertainment industry, you need gambling and you need prostitution. So now, which one controls? Moral values control the laws, or the controls the economy, or the economy controls moral values?
Moral values.
That's supposed to be moral values should control the economy, right? Here, the economy is controlled by moral values. So in Sharia, you don't see something ridiculous. Yes? Did you say?
You said the economy is run by moral values?
Controlled.
Shouldn't it be like that? And then it should be.
That's wrong. Because what the right is that moral values should control everything,
exactly.
Including the economy. Okay, moral values are the top controlling thing,
yeah.
The highest value in the society. The biggest highest value in the society is here. What's the biggest highest value in the society is in what? Moral
values.
Moral values. That's right. They control everything else. But in this example, I'll get to you. But in this example, what controls the economy? What controls the moral values?
The economy.
It's this. This is an example of capitalism, which is a capitalism is built on the capital, is built on business. So that's why you change laws across the states. So let's say you have the car, you're driving the car, and you have, they call it what, hawker?
Hmm?
They call it hawker? When you have hooker in the car?
Oh, hooker.
Hooker.
Yeah.
So if you're driving the car and you have a hawker and you're driving on the Nevada side, okay? But oops, you miss a turn, an exit, so you make a U-turn. So when you're driving in Nevada side, you're okay. But you make a U-turn, you go to the other side, which belongs to California, then you can be arrested. Ridiculous, huh? Isn't that ridiculous? And this is when capitalism control, which is money control. So there has to be laws, right? Did you ever hear about a nation or a society without laws? Did you ever hear about that? There has to be laws. Okay, so if the laws are not divine laws, are not from Allah, then they have to be, what's the alternative? Man-made laws. So we have two alternatives. One of them, can we have no laws?
No.
Name a place that have no laws? Nowhere. So we have to have laws. Now, your laws coming from where? If they are coming from Allah, or they are coming from humans, like you and me. Okay? We are slaves of the law. Agree or disagree?
Agree.
Why do we are slaves of the law? Because if you don't listen, you get what? to get ticket or you get punished or you go to jail. Okay, you break the law, you're in trouble. So are we slaves of the law? Yes. Who wrote these laws? Humans like us. What is the problem when Allah writes laws? What's the difference between the laws written by Allah and the laws written by human?
Huh? Humans maybe might be writing laws for power, and like they might be thinking that, oh yeah, it's no problem if you gamble, it's just for fun anyways, but you're actually losing money and it's wrong, but then there's no fault in the laws that Allah makes.
Yes, you are very close, very close.
Bless you.
Yeah, come on, Allah. Yes. Yes, you guys hit the answer, which is, if Allah would make laws, it would be fair for everybody. If humans, man-made laws, are not fair for everybody. The man-made laws are always made to the favor of groups. So, for example, the laws here in the United States are written to the favor of? To the favor of the people who own the capital. If you own the capital, then you are favored, right? Because it's capitalism. So it is written to the favor of the people who own the capital. You know what I mean by capital? You know what I mean by capital? You know? Money. Now, why? So the one who doesn't have money is weak. We are nobodies. I am nobody, and all of you are nobodies. You know what I mean by nobodies?
We don't matter.
Yeah, exactly. Why? Because we're not rich. If you're rich, you matter. Right? If you're rich, you matter. The laws sometimes have selective enforcement of laws. Like if a rich person makes a mistake, they let it go because he can afford good lawyers. But if a poor person makes a mistake, he can't afford lawyers, get him. Okay? You see? Like, for example, sometimes they do that with blacks. Okay? Black people. You know, the bottom line here that if the laws are man-made, then they are written to favor a specific segment of the society, not the entire society. But on the other hand, so that's the other hand, if the laws are made by Allah, they are fair for everybody. They are fair for everybody, yes. Oh yeah,
yes.
The Mickey Mouse lawyer.
There are many loopholes, especially in the law.
The free lawyer is so disgusting.
Yes, because for example, even though you may be granted a lawyer, will it be a good lawyer? Will the lawyer support your case? Or will the lawyer be against you, even though they claim they will be supporting you? That's why it's not fair, because rich people can afford excellent lawyers who will easily support them, right?
Yeah.
But if you're given a lawyer, you can't choose that same good lawyer. You could get stuck with someone not as good, and as a result, you lose your case.
No, the public lawyers are disgusting. So there's something called legal talent, okay? Legal talent. And this legal talent is for sale. When I can afford, if I have $100 million, then I can afford good legal talent. I can buy a lot of legal talent. Smart, 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 super duper lawyers. And they can get me out of the case like that, okay? But if I'm a poor person, they assign me free lawyers, and free lawyers have very little talent. Very little talent. I'm saying legal talent, in other words. So they end up, you know, you end up in trouble because these lawyers, you know, disgusting. Okay?
All right, from the B movie, remember that mosquito? And he said, what? He's a lawyer too? Ma'am, I was already a blood-sucking parasite. All I needed was a briefcase.
Yeah, that's a nice joke. Anyway, so the conclusion is, man-made laws are written to serve the specific segment of society, to fill to their favor. Why is it to also, can you give me another example how it is to the favor, capitalism is to the favor of the people who own the capital, which are basically rich people, not nobodies like you and me? You are working class. You are middle or below middle working class, and me too. We're all working class. We don't wear these nice stuff that the guys, the rich guys wear. And we don't get to enjoy pleasures like they enjoy. And we don't get to change laws. Do you know that rich people can change laws? I remember when I was, the rich people can lobby to change laws. I remember there was Proposition 37, and I was working with another recruit, lobbying manager. Lobbying manager is a person who lobbies people. So this person who say, okay, I'm going to come to the masjid, to the hall, and talk to you guys about Proposition 37. Okay? And those who come, we will have a draw, rifle draw at the end. We have 10 laptops. We draw at the end. If your name comes out, you take a laptop. See how much money those guys have? So you come and listen. They were in the favor of 37, Proposition 37. So they bring people by attracting. You say, oh, I'm going to get a laptop. So you go there, okay, and you listen. And by listening, they make you biased towards one opinion or another. Okay? And then, can we nobodies afford that? So can we change the laws? No, we can't change the laws. Who can? Big guys, big dinosaurs, insurance companies, banks, you know, all these big dinosaurs, because they got the money to change the law. They got the money to lobby, okay? All right. Okay, so we have in Sharia rigid part and flexible part. Based on what I said right now, what is rigid in Sharia and what's flexible? Huh?
Basically, gambling and adultery and basically theft.
Uh-huh.
Those are rigid, and the loose ones are kind of like favoritism, I guess.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
It depends on the reason you have. If you're favoring the poor, it's because you feel like kind of sympathy for them and you want them to be treated equal. And someone else might say, why give the poor all the attention? Give everyone the attention. So it really depends on the reason.
Yes, and let me give you another example, different example than this. Okay? Basically, what is rigid in Sharia are moral values. Moral values, they don't change with time and place. 1400 years ago, today, tomorrow, okay, next month, China, United States, rigid moral values are rigid. No steal, no adultery, no. 10 commandments, and some more than that in Islam. Okay? How about the freedoms that we have? You have a freedom of righteousness. So, for example, if you want to open a business, you want to open it in the street, like in a mall or in the plaza. Sharia tells you anything here? Sharia will tell you to make the choice wisely. Right? But you're flexible. Maybe flexible in time and place. For example, when technology evolved and women can have C-sections. Now, in the past, they couldn't. So C-sections were like, no, don't do it. It kills the mom. Now
C-sections are safe because there have been incidents in history where there were C-sections.
Yeah. Okay. So this changes with time and place. For example, hijab. If you show up in Saudi Arabia, for example, with this kind of hijab you're wearing, that's not acceptable. You have to wear that veil and gown, black, okay? And you should cover your face. I don't know if they let you do it They should cover your face with like a light thing, or burqa, or to wear burqa. So that hijab is not acceptable. Yes?
In the Quran, it doesn't like, say that we should wear the burqa.
Yes, the Quran, yeah. It's in just a tradition. But here in the United States, you can, yes?
And if we're in Saudi Arabia, we can wear the abaya, but we don't have to wear the niqab.
What year?
A year ago, 2 years ago.
Because I lived in Saudi Arabia for 13 years, but that wasn't way back. They were not, you can't even show your face in public. Yes?
So I went to Saudi Arabia too, and my cousin, they live there. I have a cousin, she's like my age, and she didn't live there. I did her also.
Maybe on my days, because I lived in Saudi Arabia in 1984. Mm-hmm. So it was way back. Now I think they make it a little bit loose. Yeah. So basically, look here. So this is freedom of, there's freedom in Sharia to this. Well, okay, in the United States, this is enough. Saudi Arabia, no more strict, so don't get yourself in trouble, okay? The gown in Saudi Arabia is loose. It doesn't show the contour of your body. Here, you don't have to do that, okay? Not mean tight clothes, but you don't have to be strict, okay? These are freedoms that you have, because the Sharia here has a flexible part. Should I go to Stanford or should I go to UC Berkeley? Flexible, right? Should I go to, should I be an engineer or computer scientist? You know? Sharia is flexible in these areas. Sharia tells you as long as it is moral, do it. As long as it's immoral, don't. So we have freedom of righteousness, freedom of halal, but we don't have freedom of haram. You don't have freedom of corruption and being corrupted, and freedom of corruption, no. Freedom of halal, righteousness, yes. You can have many, many halal choices and pick, but the freedom of being corrupt and corrupt others, no freedom. In Sharia, no freedom. No freedom to go out and have romantic relationship with somebody other than your spouse. No freedom on these kind of things. Okay? Why? Because these are immoral things. Now, within Sharia, there is Sharia and then wise and unwise. There is halal and haram and then wise and unwise. So, there is halal, right here halal, right here haram.
Okay.
Haram, wise, and wise. Okay. Wise, unwise. With a black one. Yes, black one. Halal and haram are so wide. Okay? Are so wide. Gives you, because halal and haram, I'm sorry. Halal and haram, they are written to cover almost everybody. So, halal and haram, okay, gives you a lot of space in the middle. So how do I make choices? By saying wise and unwise. So basically, everybody takes halal and haram and customize it to your own situation. You got it? So not you. Some halal may be stupid. Like, for example, you're poor and you go to Stanford without any fellowship or anything like that. That's stupid. Halal, yes, but it's stupid. Don't do the stupid thing. You got it? Okay? So, halal could be stupid. And haram, making it haram could be stupid too. For example, just as an example, Islam allows me to marry four. Yes, that's halal. But is it wise? Absolutely not. In my case, no. No, not wise for me at all. Okay? So, but for other places, it is okay. In other situations, it's a must. Not must, but it's highly recommended. Remember we talked about that? If the wife is handicapped, disabled, then you can get another wife and keep the old wife. If they don't have children, so he can marry another wife to bring children. Who did that from the prophets? Ibrahim, alayhi salam. He married Hajar, and he had Sarah. Sarah didn't give birth to girls. So he married Hajar, her slave, and she gave birth to Ismail. Then when this happened, Allah makes Sarah give birth to Ishaq. So he has Ismail and Ishaq. Both are prophets. Subhanallah. Okay? You got it? So in these kind of situations, if my wife gets a car accident and becomes disabled, I have two choices. Either dump her and marry another one, because I can't marry more than one. Is that fair?
No.
What's the other choice? But is it fair for me that I live with a disabled wife? No, I need a wife. Disabled wife doesn't work for me. Okay? So I need a wife. So I have two alternatives. Either bring another wife and keep my old wife, or dump my old wife and get another wife. Which one choice is wise? The first one.
Look at King Henry. See how well it worked out for him.
What is it?
King Henry.
What about?
He divorced Queen Eleanor because he wanted to have a son, but he kept receiving daughters.
Yes, yes. Sometimes in Christianity you can break the law of marriage only if the wife cheats or the husband cheats, okay? If the wife is having an affair. So, betraying her husband. So the husband and the wife will agree that she tells him, okay, I accept. If you accuse me for adultery, I accept. But let's just get divorced. So she goes to the priest and she says, I betrayed my husband. I've committed adultery. Just to get out of the marriage. You see what I'm saying? She didn't do that. But just to get out of the marriage. Because the marriage, sometimes it's impossible. It's impossible to continue. You see that? You see that? So this is how Sharia comes here. Sharia does not make divorce haram. It just makes divorce is what? Unwise. But it's within the halal haram region. You got it? A lot of people don't understand that. Halal and haram is big for everybody. For you, you customize your halal and haram to what? Wise and unwise. Good job. Another example, just to show you. Okay. Okay. In the United States, girls can't marry, teenage girls can't marry. Or girls can't marry young. Okay? Sharia law says yes, they can marry young. Yes. Yes. Okay. Now, how do you argue? If I say no, girls can marry young. In Islamic country, girls can marry young. In non-Muslim countries, like in the United States, for example, girls can't marry young. Okay? Which one is superior? Let's think about it. Sharia, do you guys know the statistics of pregnant teenagers in the United States? Anybody knows? Yeah, a lot of
people.
If you had a collection of 100 girls,
so basically what we're saying here, what is the difference between a pregnant girl, a pregnant teenager in the United States, and a pregnant teenager in a Muslim Sharia compliant country? What's the difference? Huh?
The girls in Saudi Arabia get married earlier so they can have children earlier, but the women in the United States are not supposed to get married.
Yes. In a Muslim country, the pregnant teenager has a husband. In the United States, the pregnant teenager doesn't have a husband. So that raises a big flag and says, okay, which one is better? Being pregnant with a husband that looks after you, or being pregnant and you're left on your own? You either be get deserted, get aborted, or become a single mom. There's no husband to care for you. Which one is better. Begging husband. What if girls don't not interested into romance when they are young? They don't have to marry. It's just an option available for those girls that want to date and do these kind of romantic things. Then we have this option. Yeah, you can do that. You can get married. Okay? But trying to stop benignant teenager from getting married is impossible. Why? Because there are girls who like to do that when they are young. So we would like to have a husband for every pregnant teenager. You got it? So which one is more wise here? Sharia or no Sharia?
Sharia. But you can't. When it comes to like what you have to do, you can't follow Sharia here though, right?
Yes, you can. You're stuck, basically. But in a Muslim, but you want to show the superiority of this Sharia and this part over the man-made laws. Capitalism. Now, California, okay, capitalism. You know the laws of capitalism is based on selfishness and greed. Can you give me an example that shows that capitalism is based on selfishness and greed?
Huh? If this is you with a crime or something, like maybe you're young and you hit a car, maybe, and then you have to go and like go to court. But if you're rich, you're able to like pay them to get out of it, or like pay to make sure to keep it a secret.
That's one way. This is one example. But the example that I like to make always is that throwing the wheat and rice in the ocean. Do you know that? Okay.
Analogy.
Do you know that in the United States here, if we have too much rice, we take the extra rice and dump it in the ocean. Why is that?
People get steal.
So what?
So that people don't steal.
No. So that the price, go ahead.
This is when like the people would pay for the rice.
Yes. You know demands and supply? Too much supply will make the price goes
lower.
So they want to say they are smart, not smart. They think with money. Okay. So they say, okay, if we sell all the rice we have, the price of rice will go really down. So what do we want to do? We want to throw it in the ocean so that
the price stays the same. Can't we just give it to the poor?
This is exactly if you have righteousness. If righteousness, not capitalism. Capitalism? No. We want the rice not to be available to the poor for free. We want the rice to stay at this price. So it's either buy the rice at this price or no rice.
Why do they make more than enough?
It happens. Planning, wrong planning or whatever. When you have a land to farm, you take a loan from the Department of Agriculture, and then if the crop is too much, then the Department of Agriculture is going to buy the rice from you and throw it in the ocean. Same thing with coffee. Same thing with wheat. Same thing with Safemart or like Safeway. Why? Do you know the chicken that they make? If they make extra chicken, what do they do? Do they sell it for low price or dump it?
Dump it.
Why? Because
maintain the high price.
Some people do, some stores they do okay. All right, so we'll sell it for $10, and now because we have too many, so we'll bring the price, reduce the price down to like $3. Some people do that, but the supermarkets, Safeway doesn't want to do that. Why? Because they're afraid that people are going to wait on the chicken until it becomes reduced price and buy it. You got it? Like if you say 6 o'clock is the cutoff line when you get reduced chicken.
Then everyone will just come.
Exactly. Right after 6 o'clock and get the reduced price. Do they like that? No, they don't. So then what they do for that, they take the chicken and dump it. How about the cake? Same way. I was once going to the bathroom, so I had to go to the back of the Safeway, and I've seen piles of cake. Piles. I've seen piles of chicken all thrown away to the trash.
Can't people just hide them?
Well, exactly.
Why not just donate it to...
They don't want that because this would bring the price down.
Okay, but they could donate to charities, right? Or other poor people. Then it would be good for their business and publicity. Why not just do that?
The poor people would just... They wouldn't buy from them anymore. They would just wait till that, you know, extra supply. Like.
Yeah, they're poor. They can't do it. I'm just saying that it's good publicity for them and they don't have to sell their chicken for low prices. If they're going to dump it anyway, why not give it for a good cause?
This doesn't happen. They don't want to take the responsibility of this.
But why not? Because they're throwing it away anyway, so they're not paying for it. If they give it to the poor, they're still not paying for it.
Capitalism, selfishness and greed. That's an example of selfishness and greed. You know how many tons of food are being thrown away in Las Vegas every day? 20 tons of food every day from the open buffets in Las Vegas is thrown away. And this is the problem in when there's somebody who's very rich and somebody who's very poor. The very rich has a lot of spare food, so they can throw away food easy. The very poor, if you have a loaf of bread, you keep it. You got something. Okay. So what happens is that the rich people are dumping in the trash their share and the share of the poor. This is how it's unfair, you see? So if there is Allah's providing us, let's say, with 5,000 tons of food, okay, for everybody. Okay, rich people, like the United States here, with 2.5% of the world population. And we consume 60% of the energy, 60% of the world production. So is it 2.5% or 5%? For the number of people who live in the United States.
I'm not sure.
It is like 5%, right?
People who live in the United States or what?
Citizens live in the United States.
Like for world population?
Yeah. Relative to the world population.
That's it?
5%? Let's say it's 5%, okay? 5% of the people in the United States, 5% of the people, of the human beings, 5% of them who live in the United States consume 60% of the world production, the world energy, the world gas, oil, 60%, okay? 60%. So that 60%, 5% use 60%, they have a lot so they can throw away. But the poor people, they are throwing away the shares of poor people and their shares. Okay. Now, how about riba? How about the laws of riba? Is riba halal or haram?
What?
Riba is like interest.
Oh, haram. It depends.
It's haram.
Yes. What? It's haram. Riba is haram.
You know, interest where we go to the bank.
Oh, interest. Yeah,
we want to deposit. I thought that interest.
Let me make another. Is this the
right? Yeah, that's
okay. Let's use this. If I give you $100 now. $100 down. And then I say in 1 year, you pay back 110. This $10 is riba. You understand now what riba is? Yeah. Doesn't have to be an interest. Doesn't have to be an interest. If I say, okay, you come to me and say, please, give me $100 loan. I say, okay, I'll give it to you 100 today. Okay, I get it next year, 110. Okay, just give me. And then you take the money. And then the next year you have to pay 110. This is riba. The $10 is riba. Not the entire 110. The $10 is the riba. This is haram in Islam. Now, what is the alternative? This equation says that $100 plus 1 year equals 110. So that causes inflation. Because look at this 1 year. So the power of the money, sort of, or what the dollar can get you For $100 today, it would be $110 next year. Okay? So this is called inflation. I have to pay, this year I have to pay for something $100, next year I have to pay $110. This is called what? Inflation. Okay. So how do we fix this? How do we fix this? Yes, you can. Yes. Yeah, I mean, you pay what, but you have to pay the $10 extra. Okay. So now, what is the difference? Why? What is the good here? The good here is 100 plus work equals to 110. This is haram. This is halal. You see the difference here? You see the difference? Okay, $100 plus 1 year equals 110. This is riba, this is haram. But $100 plus work, you take the $100 and you do business with, and then you pay 110, that's halal. Why? Because here, that extra $10 came from time. But here, the extra $10 came from what? Work. So work here is going to be $10 work.
So essentially, earn your keep is basically what it presents.
Yes. Now, no inflation here because there is no time. Look, no inflation here because there is no time. And this is why in Islam, buying money for money is haram. Buying $100 today for $110 after a year is haram. This is called buying money. You buy the money. You buy $100 today and $410 after 1 year. This is haram. In Islam, this is haram. Got it? What is halal is to $100 plus work. $110. That doesn't cause inflation because the $10 goes to work for business. Yes.
Can we get an example?
Okay. Yeah. I'll give you an example. Okay. You know the example of the riba. She begs of me to give her $100. I give her and say, next year is $110. Mm-hmm. That's the haram example. The good example is what? You say, why do you need the money for? Say, I want to open a store. Say, okay, I'll work with you. I'll open the store with you. We become partners. And then you work, okay? And then we get the profit. So that profit is going to be the $10. You got it? It's resulting from business, yes.
You have to earn $100 back.
Yes, you have the profit. Whether the profit is $100 or $500 or $200 or $50, you share the business risk.
So the $10 is your pay?
The $10 being generated from business, buying and selling.
So
here, buying and selling, trading, okay?
So $110. $100 is me paying you back for helping me open the store, and the $10 is your part of the profit.
Yes, you can put it this way. Okay. Yes,
so
yes,
share.
Yes, that's right. So, there would be no inflammation here because the $10 did not decrease with time. You see, this is Islam. This is no Islam. This is Sharia. This is no Sharia. Does this thing change with time? No. Changes with place? No. Riba is always haram in the past, in the location. Regardless of China, haram. In the United States, it's haram. In Egypt, it's haram. Riba is always haram. Even if the whole people, the entire people on the planet practice riba, it's haram. That doesn't make it halal at all. Because here, there is taking advantage of the poor. But here, yeah. Another law in the market. That is halal and haram. Monopoly. Is monopoly halal in Islam?
The game?
No. The monopoly of the market. I'll tell you. Okay. There is a shortage in rice, for example. There is a shortage in rice. And then I go to everywhere and I buy the rice. And I put it, I store it. So that I can have monopoly. Now you come and want to buy rice from me, I say $100. What? It was $40. I said, well,
sorry.
If you don't like it, don't buy. Okay? You will not find anybody else who has rice in the market except Mua, me. You pay $100. You pay $100 for bound. You got it? This is monopoly. Haram or halal? Haram.
What about buying from monopoly? Is that all from haram?
Huh?
Yeah. Unless like there's nothing else available.
Now.
There's nothing else available because you bought all of it all and you're offering this insane price.
No, she's asking buying from someone who's monopolying.
Well, what can you do? You're going to starve.
Exactly.
But this is haram.
Unless there's other options.
Yeah, this is haram. Let me tell you about the rule in Lebanon. You cannot buy something for the same thing. You cannot buy money for money. You cannot buy gold for gold. You cannot buy cars for cars. You cannot trade something for the same. For example, I have dates, and you have dates. My dates is old. Your date is new, fresh. So I say I give you 200 pounds old dates and take 100 pounds good dates. This is haram. Any trade, you have to change the kind, understand. You can't buy gold for gold, silver for silver, dates for dates. No, you have to change the kind. You must, okay? So can you have to buy something with different things. You understand? You understand what I'm saying? Can I have two old cars and you have one new car? Can we trade? I tell you, okay, you take my new car.
I don't get why that's bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, good, perfect question. Because when you change the kind, that's business. So what happens is what? You have, let's say, 100 pounds of good dates. Okay? You want to get mine, 200 pounds. Okay? So what do? You sell yours for money and buy from me. You got it? Why is that? Because when you sell, that's business. When you buy, that's another business, and that's what we want. We want business. So if you trade something with something else, that's not business. We want business. So what is that business is? Change the kind.
Why is it haram? Why can't...
Change the kind you have. Sell yours from the market and come buy mine. She sells her good dates on the market. And then she comes by mine.
Why can't you sell the bad? Why can't you trade the bad date for the good date if both people agree?
Haram. Even haram in Islam, you have to change the kind. Why? To do business, to make business, to generate business. You understand?
I kind of get it.
Yeah. When you trade something for a kind, you're not doing business. To do business, you sell, you buy. You see, so that's why changing the kind is mandatory. This is why the Prophet ﷺ say, don't buy something for the same thing. You have to change somehow. Change for anything. Usually change for money. So you have two old cars, I have one new car. Can't trade. You sell your old, come buy mine. Okay? So that's now business. That business generates the profit. Okay? You got it? See how superior the Sharia laws are? I'm going to give you a puzzle for next week. In Saudi Arabia, riba is haram, right? So somebody said to somebody else, say, I give you $5 million today. Next year, I want them to be $8 million, to pay me back $8 million. This is haram, right? Okay. So now... The guy got the $5 million. After a year, he gave back only $5 million. So he said, the loaner, the guy who gave him the loan, said, what? We agreed on $8 million. He said, no, that's riba. And riba's haram. I'm not paying riba.
Okay, that's wrong. We shouldn't have went to that person in the first place.
It happened. So they went to the judge, between them. If he said, give him back the extra $3 million, then that's going to be riba. And the judge cannot order riba. If he says don't, then that's taking advantage of someone. Because the guy expected to make money, okay, and he didn't. Guess what the solution is? I'll put it in the homework, and you come up with a solution.